Our Old Testament reading will be found in the book of Job, in our Pew Bibles on page 464, and we'll be reading in chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord, "I know that you canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you declare to me. I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Our New Testament reading will be found in the book of Mark. The Pew Bible is page 879. And we'll be reading from chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called him, the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, rise, he is calling you." And throwing off his mantle, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Master, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way.
As we've looked at the Gospel of Mark in the last several weeks, one of the things that we have acknowledged is that Jesus is on the way. He is on the way to Jerusalem. And in our text this morning, he is right outside of the ancient city of Jericho in the suburbs, which is about 15 miles away from Jerusalem. The road from Jericho to Jerusalem was the last leg of Jesus' journey. And the healing that Jesus performs on this road is the last healing that Jesus performs in the Gospel of Mark. So this leg of Jesus' journey, which is the last leg, is very important in the Gospel of Mark. We should note that it's taking place during the Passover season. And so there would have been lots of pilgrims journeying along this road on their way to take part in the Passover festivities in Jerusalem. But there would have been more than just pilgrims on the road. There would have been other people on the road as well. There would have been bandits on the road hoping to take advantage of some unsuspected traveler journeying alone, like in the parable of the Good Samaritan. There would also have been beggars strategically positioned along the way to beg from the host of pilgrims making their way into the city. We're reminded, of course, that they didn't have any social safety net in the ancient world. They didn't have any disability insurance. And so if you were blind or crippled or debilitated in any way, you were often reduced to begging in the streets, hoping that someone would see you and have mercy on you. And so we're not surprised that as the Lord is traveling along the way, that one of the people he encounters is a beggar, a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Scholars are not quite sure what the name Bartimaeus means, but it must be important because it's one of the few times in the gospel narratives that we are given a name of someone that Jesus heals. Some scholars have suggested that the name means son of the honored one. Others have said that the name in Aramaic means son of poverty or son of the unclean. But what everyone does agree on is that Bartimaeus is desperate. He has been reduced to begging on the streets in order to survive. But today, Jesus is coming along the way. And even though Bartimaeus cannot see Jesus, he knows who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He knows that Jesus is the one who will defeat the enemies of Israel. He knows that Jesus is the one who will restore the kingdom to Israel. And so when he hears that Jesus is coming, this blind man begins to cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It is what the poor and the broken and the desperate in our world cry out all the time. Have mercy on me. It is, in essence, what we say and cry to every Sunday when we say our prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us. For we are sinners. We are unclean. We are impoverished in spirit. We are broken. We are blind. Have mercy on us. Walter Brueggemann says that mercy is that strange, transformative reach from a center of strength to a center of need that changes everything and makes all things new. And that's why we gather here every Sunday, because we want to be made new. And that's what Bartimaeus wants in our text this morning. He wants to be new again. It's interesting that those who are following Jesus, the crowds that have been following him, are embarrassed by Bartimaeus' cries and pleadings. They try to silence him. Be quiet, they tell him. It's not unlike the response that many of the most desperate people receive in our society whenever they cry out for justice and mercy. The text doesn't tell us, but I suspect that this is a good Presbyterian crowd because they want Bartimaeus to respond decently and in order. But Bartimaeus knows what many people know, what many people who are often broken and desperate know, that sometimes you have to be loud. Sometimes you have to be disruptive and persistent in order to get people to listen to you. And so Bartimaeus cries out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And Jesus stops and listens to Bartimaeus and calls out to him. Jesus, who is on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus, whose mind must be focused on what is to take place there in Jerusalem. Obviously, he is trying to get there, and yet he stops for this blind beggar on the side of the road. No one is too insignificant for Jesus' attention. And he responds to Bartimaeus the same way he responded to James and John last week. You remember when James and John came to Jesus and said, "We want you to do whatever we ask." And Jesus says, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And that's what Jesus says here to Bartimaeus as well. "What is it that you want me to do for you?" It's a good question because it's an attempt to get all of us to think about what it is we value in Jesus, why Jesus is important to us, why we follow him. What is it that we want Jesus to do for us? Some people want honor, and some people want glory, and some people want respectability. Some people want riches and success. Some people want bread. Some people want a wonder worker, someone who will be there to cater to their needs. People have all kinds of things that they want Jesus to do for them. And so Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What is it that you want me to do for you? What is important to you? What do you value in me?" And Bartimaeus responds, "Master, I just want my sight. I just want to be able to see. That's all I want. I want to be able to see." In one respect, this story that Mark is telling us is a typical healing story. It is a story about a God who heals, and that is what God does. God is a healing God, and that is what Jesus does. Jesus heals in order to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God in the midst of the world. Jesus often heals. And that's what he does for Bartimaeus. He heals Bartimaeus. He opens Bartimaeus' eyes. And God is still in the healing business. God is still a God who heals. That is why we pray constantly for those who are sick. That is why, like Bartimaeus, we remain persistent and we pray. Because God is still a healing God. And I have seen that healing power of God in the lives of friends and loved ones. And I know that you have seen that healing power of God as well. We are to constantly pray for healing. But in Mark's gospel, this story is not just about physical blindness, but it's also about spiritual blindness. It is about the inability of people to be able to see what God is doing in the midst of the world and what God is doing even in their own lives. We human beings sometimes are woefully blind. Sometimes we can't see because we are finite creatures. We are quite limited. We can't see the whole picture. Only God can see that. But often we are blind because we want to be blind. We choose to be blind. We don't want to be able to see because seeing exacts a price from us. Seeing may be too painful for us. And so sometimes we prefer the darkness. We don't want to see. We don't want to see the suffering and pain around us. We don't want to see the things that we are responsible for, that our lives are responsible for. We don't want to be able to see. Just like the rich young ruler that we looked at a few weeks ago. He comes to Jesus and Jesus helps him to see, but seeing is too painful. And so the rich young man goes away with great sadness of heart, perhaps dreading the fact that he even came to Jesus in the first place to have his eyes opened. But in our text this morning, Bartimaeus says, "I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see. If you would just open my eyes so that I might be able to see." In the Gospel of Mark, people have problems seeing. The religious leaders have problems seeing. The political leaders have problems seeing. People have problems seeing. Everyone has problems seeing what God is doing in the life of Jesus. And even Jesus' own disciples have problems seeing. The healing of Bartimaeus is the concluding frame of a whole section in Mark's gospel that is dominated by the motif of blindness. It begins in chapter 8 of Mark when Jesus heals another blind man, and this time we're not given the blind man's name. All we're told is that it takes Jesus two attempts to get this man to see. Jesus touches his eyes and the man says, "I can see a little bit, but people look like trees." And then Jesus has to touch him again in order for the man to be able to see clearly. And for the remainder of the section, Jesus is constantly trying to get his disciples to be able to see. They can see halfway. They can see the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. Peter declared that in the end of chapter 8. They can see that Jesus is Lord. They can see that he is the King. They can see that he is the one who is to restore the kingdom to Israel. They can see all of that. But what they can't see is the suffering and the humiliation and the pain and the degradation that will take place on the cross. They can't see all of that because they have lost sight of the heart of God, the heart of God's self-giving love for the sake of all people, for the sake of sinners, for the sake of enemies, for the sake of those who are not capable of living nice, respectable, moral lives. Jesus is concerned about all of those who are unclean, those who are pushed to a side. Jesus is concerned about all of those. And so instead of being the kind of Messiah who comes in and crushes enemies with his power, and the kind of Messiah that judges the sinners, Jesus instead gives his life for all of them and submits to being put to death on the cross. And that is what the disciples cannot see. They want the glory. They want the honor. They want all the good things that come with being associated with Jesus, but they can't see the way. They can't see the way of the cross. But Bartimaeus says, "I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see the way of God in the world. I want to be able to see the way of sacrificial, self-giving love that is at the very heart of God." It's easy for us to want Jesus to do good things for us. It's easy for us to want Jesus to bless us in the ways that we recognize as being blessed. It's easy to want to share in all the good things that come with being one of his followers. But we are reminded that there's something that Jesus wants us to do for him. He wants us to follow him wherever he goes, especially to those places where people are most vulnerable. He wants us to give ourselves for the sake of others, just as he gave himself for the sake of the whole world. When I was 18 years old, I joined the Army. Actually, it happened when I was 17 years old. My last year in high school, at the beginning of the year, I went down to the recruiter station and I signed up for the Army. There's lots of reasons for doing that. My dad was in the Army, retired out of the Army. But most of it had to do with just the image of what I thought the Army was about. I wish I could say that I went into it with my eyes open, but for the most part, I was swayed by just my thought of being in the Army. The military used to send those flyers out to my home address when I was a senior, and it had all of these wonderful things on the flyers, you know, young men in nice uniforms doing interesting things like rappelling and parachuting, being in exotic places in the world, places that I could only dream of, having benefits that would be quite beneficial in the future, education benefits, occupational benefits, medical benefits. There was all kinds of reasons that I signed up and joined the Army. Wish I could say that I did it out of love of country, but it was all of these other factors that were holding sway, just being in the Army and being grown up and having a uniform and just being considered a soldier, the whole image of the soldier and the good things that went with that. But it was some time later when I began to reflect that being a soldier has nothing to do with the things that I had associated it with. Being a soldier has nothing to do with benefits, education benefits. It has nothing to do with going to foreign and exotic places. It has nothing to do with dressing up in a spiffy uniform and doing cool things like rappelling and parachuting. It had nothing to do with those kind of things. But the essence of being a soldier was being willing to go wherever your country needed you and to, if need be, to die for your country. Mature faith is like that too, mature faith in the Lord. It sometimes has nothing to do with the kind of things that we often associate it with, but it has everything to do with our willingness to follow Jesus, to give our whole selves to Jesus, to give our lives to him. And if need be, to give it totally for the sake of what God is doing in the world. That's what Bartimaeus wanted to be able to see. We sung that hymn earlier, Amazing Grace. Part of that hymn was written by John Newton, a man who spent most of his life working as a slave transporter aboard a ship, a captain of a slave ship. And the life of Bartimaeus pretty much resembles the life of John Newton. One day he is living his life, making a living in a way that some of us today might think is immoral and questionable, but certainly back then it was not. It was just the way that people, another way that people made a living. But one day, in the midst of a storm, when he thought everything was lost, the whole ship was lost, he cried out in the same way that Bartimaeus cries out, "Lord, have mercy on me." And it began the transformation of his life, the leaving of one way of life behind to embrace a whole new way of life, a whole new way of being, doing away with that slave transporter's life, and to embark on a life of freedom in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And knowing that because God had mercy on him, that he could in turn have mercy on others and devote his life to doing away with slavery and the odious apparatus of the slave trade. And so Newton would write in that memorable phrase of his hymn, "I was once blind, but now I see. I want to be able to see." That's what Bartimaeus says. "I want to be able to see the way of God in the world. I want to be able to see where the heart of God is going. I want to be able to see those vulnerable people that I often avert my eyes from. I want to be able to see the way that Jesus is leading, the way to Jerusalem, the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love." Jesus tells Bartimaeus to go because your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. Go your way. It's what Jesus often told people. Go your way. But amazingly, Bartimaeus does not go his way. Instead, the text tells us that he follows Jesus on the way. He follows Jesus to Jerusalem. He follows Jesus on the way to the cross with his eyes wide open. And that's where we are called to follow too. We are called to follow Jesus. We are called to have our eyes wide open. We are called to follow his way of self-giving love. It's not an easy way. It often moves through places that are quite difficult. It moves through inner cities where it's sometimes difficult to proclaim the good news in places where people are hurting. It moves through suburbs like Jericho where people are sometimes too busy to be able to pay much attention to the good news. It moves through places that are war-torn and conflicted, where people are suffering and looking for mercy. It moves through all of those places, and we are called to follow that way. Follow it with our eyes wide open, being able to see along the way. Because even though it is a way that asks everything of us, it is also the way that brings eternal life. But we have to be able to see it. I want to be able to see. Do you want to be able to see? Do you want to be able to see the heart of God? Do you want to be able to see where Jesus is taking us and leading us? Do you want to be able to see what the power of God is all about? Do you want to be able to see it? Then follow Jesus. Follow him as he makes his way into Jerusalem. In the next stop in Mark's gospel, Jesus will enter into the city and people will cheer him on. It will be Palm Sunday and the people will cheer him on. "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." They will celebrate him. But on only a very few will know what it means. And we are told that Bartimaeus is one of those few. And so are we. We know what it means. And that's why we give our lives and give our hearts to him. That's why we are called to love him with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our strength. Because he is the way and the truth and the life. May he continue to guide us and direct us as we all move along the way. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have called us to follow you. You have called us to put away that portion of our lives that we hold on to because we think that that is what can fortify our lives, the things that we have given ourselves over to, our money, our position, our status, our respectability, all the things that we try to fortify our lives with. But you have asked us to follow you. You have asked us to come with you as you take us to that place where we might have life. Help us, Lord, to be able to see. Help us to be able to see your great love for all of us and for all of your people. Help us to be able to see that to follow you is not to live in security, but to be vulnerable, to open our hearts, and to open our eyes so that we might see the love of God operating in our midst. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.